A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and he sells all he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace, and there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both new and old." The Gospel of the Lord. I think the readings today kind of go in a few different directions, seem to be kind of all over the place. And even the gospel with these different parables, highlighting different things. But I was thinking and praying about it, and I don't know, maybe the unifying thread in the whole thing is that it's really urgent for us to make spiritual progress, to keep growing closer to God, and let that affect every part of our life, and allow ourselves to be changed by God. In the first reading, we had from the Book of Kings, and it's Solomon, the son of David, who's now taken over the kingdom after David died, and Solomon is talking with God. And God wants to bless him. Now he's the king of this amazing, large kingdom that David has established with God's help. And he can pray for anything he wants. And you could imagine that he'd pray for security, for military power, for riches, for a good growth in the economy, so all his people would be prosperous, that his enemies be all vanquished. And yet Solomon says to God something beautiful. He said, "Lord, my God, you've made me your servant king to succeed my father David, but I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people you have chosen, a people so vast it cannot be counted or numbered. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" It's an amazing prayer born of humility. And God responds that he's pleased that he hasn't asked for more power, security, riches. He's asked for wisdom. Because with that wisdom and humility, he'll be able to judge rightly. That's a great thing we ought to be praying for, too. You know, so often we pray for, I guess, you know, if we took a poll, we'd probably find out most of our prayers are, "Help me avoid this suffering, this discomfort, this annoyance, this inconvenience." Okay, that's fine. But do we pray for wisdom and prudence to know how to act in different situations with different people? To do it in a humble way. That's maybe what we ought to be praying for, because we'll be able to do anything else that's needed if we're wise with God's wisdom, if we're humble with the heart of a servant, right? So maybe we need to revise our habitual way of praying often we pray in the gimme prayer. Lord, give me this, give me that. When we should be asking for wisdom. And then Jesus starts off with these, you know, last few weeks we've been dealing with all the different parables that Jesus is preaching. And today there's three about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. A man discovers, buries it again, and goes and buys that field. Okay, leave aside the ethical issue, you know, where he didn't tell the guy he discovered a treasure in his field, and then he goes and buys it, but that's all right. I don't think that was Jesus' point. But he goes and he sells everything. And then similarly, it's like a merchant searching for fine pearls, and he finds one of truly valuable price, and he goes and he sells everything he has. Imagine that. Selling everything. No? You know, it's like the practice today of buying things on a margin. No? You can borrow the money to buy something, you know, basically. A margin. But to put everything you've got at risk for that one thing that's truly valuable. Wow. Everything. And it raised the question for us, it should. What do we have in our lives, even good things, that we wouldn't give up even for the kingdom of heaven? Is there anything that we're so in love with and so attached to that's not God? And we couldn't give it up. Remember that story of the rich young man. He wants to follow Jesus. He feels the attraction. And Jesus says, go, sell all you have and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. But the gospel says so tragically, at those words, the young man's face fell because he was a man of great means, and he went away sad. He couldn't let go of his wealth. What is it we couldn't let go of for the kingdom of heaven? What is it that's in our lives that we just can't part with? Maybe it's people. Maybe it's possessions. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's attitudes and opinions that we cling to so tightly. And we're not open to being corrected on any of that by the values of the kingdom of God. We're stubborn and we hang on to our prejudices and our attitudes, even when they maybe even contradict the gospel. And we won't let that go. And then the final parable is, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea that picks up all sorts of things. Good fish, useless fish, probably a bunch of seaweed and plastic bottles or whatever. I don't know whether they had that problem back in the Sea of Galilee, but they'll separate the good from the bad. So there'll be a reckoning before the kingdom of heaven is accessible to us. We got to be accountable. Recently, we had kind of a rash of funerals, and a 23-year-old kid committed suicide. On the other end, a 91-year-old married 70 years, still passionately in love with that woman. Many others. Another one dying and he's refusing to see a priest. Refusing to have a funeral. There'll be a sorting out and a reckoning. got to make spiritual progress. We got to keep going. The other day, a group of people came to me from the parish, and they'd all been on this retreat called the Emmaus Retreat in Spanish. And it's evidently a life-changing retreat down in the city. And they're all fired up, and they want to form a group here in the parish. Great. Oh. And I started asking them about, you know, how their lives have been changed by this retreat. There's like 30 people involved. And they start telling me their stories. Like, it was an awakening for them. They were all kind of, most of them were like ordinary Catholics, not too on fire, but good people. Others had huge conversions. No, they had sinful lives. But at the same time, when we were talking, it was clear that they were all aware that they still got work to do, lots of work. And it made me remember that, you know, we often think of like a conversion or a spiritual awakening, like we do a 180, and then everything in our life is different. You know, we think of St. Paul got knocked off his horse, and everything changed for him at that moment. That's true. And yet St. Paul still had the same personality. He was still proud. He was still boastful. He was still making a mess of things. And these people, too, were saying, you know, I got to make a lot of progress. There were those who were married outside the church, or they were living together, or they've got other big problems, and they're all aware that they got to keep working on those things. It's like a purification, making spiritual progress. And they're never satisfied with where they are right now because they got to take one step closer to the kingdom of heaven. And so, yeah, we can have a great conversion experience, but then the hard work comes, right? We're not magically transformed into saints. Now we have to see, what do we have to sell to really hold on to that kingdom of heaven? And maybe it's old habits. Maybe it's people that don't help lead us to God at all, that our relationship's got to change. Maybe it's things that just block God's path in our life, his influence. And all of them are committed to keep selling whatever they have to sell to possess that kingdom of heaven. And it's a gradual process of purification. Yeah. When we pray for things, let's not pray just for comfort and ease and lack of suffering. Let's pray that we're generous so we can sell it all. Whatever keeps us from the kingdom of heaven, whatever slows us down or blocks us from God, all of that's got to go. Like the one who sold everything for the pearl of great price.